ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జాయ ముదీరే నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికి. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. సో వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఫస్ట్ క్యాంటో క్రియేషన్ చాప్టర్ నంబర్ 4 ద అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ నారద్ అండ్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 24. త ఏవ వేదా దుర్మేధైర్ ధార్యంతే పురుషైర్యథా ఏవం చకార భగవాన్ వ్యాస కృపణ వత్సలః. త ఏవ వేదా దుర్మేధైర్ ధార్యంతే పురుషైర్యథా ఏవం చకార భగవాన్ వ్యాసః కృపణ వత్సలః. త ఏవ వేదా దుర్మేధైర్ ధార్యంతే పురుషైర్యథా ఏవం చకార భగవాన్ వ్యాసః కృపణ వత్సలః. ప్లీజ్ రిపీట్. ఏవ వేదా దుర్మేధై ధార్యంతే పురుషైర్యథ ఏవం చకార భగవాన్ వ్యాసః కృపణ వత్సలః. త ఏవ వేదా దుర్మేధై పురుషైర్యథ ఏవం చకార భగవాన్ వ్యాస కృపణ వత్సలః. ఏవ వేద దుర్మేధై ధార్యంతే పురుషైర్యథ ఏవం చకార భగవాన్ వ్యాస కృపణ వత్సలః. తేవ వేదా దుర్మేధై ధార్యంతే పురుషైర్యథ ఏవం చకార భగవాన్ వ్యాస కృపణ వత్సలః. మాతజీ త ఏవ వేద దుర్మేధై ధార్యంతే పురుషైర్యథ ఏవం చకార భగవాన్ వ్యాస కృపణ వత్సలః. word to word, te, that, ta, it's ta, right? Here it says te. So, ta, that, eva, certainly, vedaha, the book of knowledge, durmedhaihi, by the less intelligent, intellectual, dharyante, can assimilate, purushaihi, by the man, yatha, as much as, evam, does, chakar, edited, Bhagavan, the powerful, Vyasaha, the great sage Vyas, Kripana Vatsalaha, very kind to the ignorant mass. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Thus, the great sage Vyasadeva, who is very kind to the ignorant masses, edited the Vedas so they might be assimilated by less intellectual men. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Veda is one, and the reasons for its divisions in many parts are explained herewith. The seed of all knowledge, or the Veda, is not a subject matter which can easily be understood by any ordinary man. There is a stricture that no one should try to learn the Vedas who is not a qualified Brahman. This stricture has been wrongly interpreted in so many ways. A class of men who claim Brahminical qualification simply by their birthright in the family of a Brahman claim that the study of the Vedas is a monopoly of the Brahman caste only. Another section of the people take this as an injustice to members of other castes who do not happen to take birth in a Brahman family. But both of them are misguided. The Vedas are subjects which had to be explained even to Brahmaji by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the subject matter is understood by persons with exceptional qualities of goodness. Persons who are in the modes of passion and ignorance are unable to understand the subject matter of the Vedas. The ultimate goal of Vedic knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. This personality is very rarely understood by those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance. In the Satya Yuga, everyone was situated in the mode of goodness. Gradually, the mode of goodness declined during the Treta and Dwapar Yugas, and the general mass of people became corrupt. In the present age, the mode of goodness is almost nil. And so, for the general mass of people, the kind-hearted, powerful sage Srila Vyasadeva divided the Vedas in various ways so that they may be practically followed by less intelligent persons in the modes of passion and ignorance. It is explained in the next shloka as follows. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to beg the mercy from Maharaj. Prahladan Maharaj is here with us. And Naikatma Prabhu, all the assembled Vaishnavas, my seniors, my mentors, Archit Prabhu, Bhrigupati Prabhu, and Rabindranath Prabhu, and all the assembled ones, all the Matajis. If you could bless me so I can speak something that is beneficial for myself and that would please all of you. So we see that today's words, Ta eva veda durme dhair, dharyante purushair yatha, evam chakara bhagavan vyasah kripana vatsalaha. Now, we have heard this term that bhakta vatsal, like Krishna is bhakta vatsal, he is, you know, lover of the devotees, he has parental affection for his devotees. But what is this Kripan Vatsal? Basically the word Vatsal comes from two roots. First is Vaksha and La is for Lati. Vaksha also means chest. So if you ask any child that, you know, whose phone this is, the child may, you know, innocently say by holding the phone to his chest, he may say, it is mine. You know, whatever usually that is very dear to someone, they like to hold on to their chest. So Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal. That means he likes to hold the devotees to his chest. That is one of the meanings of this word. It is easy to be Bhakta Vatsal or, you know, to naturally love one's own devotees. But what is this Kripana Vatsala that is being talked in today's words? Kripana basically means someone who is ignorant. And sometimes it is also translated as a miser. So there are two classes of men that are, you know, very prominently distinguished as Brahmanas and Kripanas. So Brahmanas is... A Brahman is basically the one who knows how to utilize the resources, and he will utilize all the resources, including his own senses and his body, in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is very intellectual. He knows who is the owner of everything that I have. So he will always serve Krishna with his resources. And a Kripana means he is very less intelligent. That means they are miserly. Like Srila Prabhupada, he talks about who is a miser. Like somebody may be very rich, but he, because he is miser, he cannot really enjoy his opulences, his wealth. So he will just hide all the wealth. And he would act like I am a beggar. To the outside world, he would use torn clothes and he would live a very simple life. He won't even eat proper food. I have seen such people, and I'm very sure you have seen such type of people who just want to hold on to their belongings. They do not want to utilize. So they are called Kripanas, miserly men. And here we see that there are so many living entities who have received beautiful human form of life. Despite getting a human body, if someone is not utilizing the human body for its intended cause, if someone is not serving with the human body to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if someone is not utilizing the senses in the service of the Master of Senses, Rishikena Rishikeshasya Sevanam Bhakti Uchyate. Like, to engage one's senses in the service of the master of senses, Rishikesha, that is Krishna's name, that is real bhakti. So miser means somebody who is so dull or sometimes so unintelligent. And Srila Prabhupada mentions Kripana Vatsala very kind to ignorant mass. Kripana is ignorant person. How can Krishna be called Kripana Vatsala? Or in this verse, Vyasadeva is being called as Kripana Vatsala. So general tendency is we like to favor someone who is intelligent. And we don't like the people who are miserly. That's the general tendency. But then how come Krishna has special affection for miserly men? It is explained like a mother has a few children, but she will give her utmost care, her utmost attention to the person, to the child who is, you know, deprived of intelligence. If the child is dumb, then the mother will give extra care, extra love. So it is very hard to understand this concept. How come Krishna is Kripana Vatsala? Because there is also different beautiful names of Krishna. Dina Bandhu or Dina Vatsal. He is very dear. He is very merciful. And he loves, you know, the people who are Dina. They are, you know, poor or they are completely bereft of all the opulences. So it's very hard to understand how can someone be Kripana Vatsala. Because like when Prahlad Maharaj was offering the prayers to Narasingha Dev, he said, Trastosmeham Kripana Vatsala Dussahogra Sansara Chakra Kadanad Grasatam Pranitaha Baddha Swakarma Bhirushattamate Angrimulam Pritopavarga Sharanam Havayase Kadanu. So Prahlad Maharaj is calling Narasingha Dev that you are Kripana Vatsala. So Prahlad Maharaj is like the purest devotee. He is so pure that even demigods, they didn't want to approach Narasingha Dev looking at his ferocious, angry form. Lakshmi Devi said that he is not my husband. Who will pacify Narasingha Dev? So demigods, they are saying, only Prahlad, you can pacify Narasingha Dev because for you, Lord has assumed this form. So such a pure devotee, he is saying that, Trastosmeham, that I am completely fed up with this material world. Dussahagra, it is intolerable. And sansara chakra kadanad grasatam pranitaha. I am being tortured, harassed by sansara chakra, the cycle of birth and death. Because I have been in this material world, there are so many miseries, anxieties, calamities. And I am completely being harassed in this world. And I am done with this world. Trastosmiyaham. And then he says that, but you are Kripana Vatsala, that you are special, you have special mercy for Kripanas like me. So he is saying that, you know, you have special care, that's why you have appeared. So, then he later on says that, when will that day come that this, you know, material existence will stop for me? And when will that time come when you will call me back to your lotus feet? Angrimulam. So we see that Krishna is Kripana Vatsala. The same way, you know, the reason Krishna is also called Kripana Vatsala is that the living entity rejects Krishna. But Krishna never rejects the living entity. Even when the living entity has a tendency to enjoy separately, the living entity desires to completely abandon Krishna and wants to come in the material world, but Krishna accompanies the living entity And he is always giving the guidance and want the living entity to turn back to him so that he can guide the living entity back to him. One very important aspect of Krishna's Kripana Vatsalata, that he being very merciful to all the ignorant masses, all the fallen conditioned souls, that he sends different devotees, different pure devotees he sends from the spiritual world to the material world so that the ignorant masses can be educated. So sometimes he himself comes, or sometimes he sends his pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, or sometimes he incarnates. So in this case, you know, Vyasadeva is being called as Bhagavan because he, the Vyas of this time is incarnation of Krishna. So how Vyasadeva is Kripan Vatsal? Because the original Vedic knowledge came from Krishna, you know, and the very purpose of Vedas is to know Krishna. You know, Vedaishta Sarvair Ahameva Vedyaha Vedantakrit Veda Vidyaeva Chaham. So Krishna says that I am the actual object to be known, you know, by the Vedas. So Tene Brahma Rudayadi Kavayo. So actual original knowledge was given by Krishna to Brahma in his heart. So the actual knowledge came, and that is called Shruti. So in the beginning the Veda is one. So it is referred as Yajurveda. Sometimes people, you know, some people also say that the original one was Rigveda. But the point is that in the beginning the Veda was only one. And it was called Shruti because when, you know, in those times, in the beginning of creation, when the knowledge was imparted to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma started giving this knowledge to his sons, and the knowledge started, you know, coming down, flowing from Lord Brahma, that time it was only spoken by the spiritual master, and it was just heard and grasped and completely stored in the brain of the disciple. So they were so smart people, that's why it is called Shruti. So, you know, this Shruti, that the Veda was one, at the same time it was very complex. It was very hard to grasp. So Vyasadeva, when, you know, Vyasadeva was born, and then when he, you know, he had these revelations, so it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that one day, after taking bath in the river Saraswati, he sat down for meditation and he could see the deterioration of the different masses in the Kali Yuga. The people will be so dull. Kalau janishyamananam dukkha shoka tamo nudam. Or like Maharaj was describing the other day, that these people of Kali Yuga, they are manda, right? They are very dull and slow. So because of which, Vyasadeva, when he had this vision, so he felt very compassionate, that he felt, how will these people from Kali Yuga will ever understand the very complex, intricate definitions and meaning of Vedas. So he compiled the Vedas according to their structure, like Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in today's purport. So he compiled, he divided the Vedas according to their purposes. So the Shruti mantras, they were divided into four Vedas. 108 Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra. So, you know, the four divisions that he compiled Veda into were Rig Veda, which is most important, and from which Gayatri Mantra comes, and from which Purusha Sukta, you know, that also comes. These are very important verses, and you know, Rig Veda talks about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yajur Veda, as the name, you know, itself says, that it is about different practices, different priestly processes for the performance of yajna, sacrifices. Samaveda has chants and melodies, meters to be sung during the sacrifices. And Atharva Veda, It has hymns and mantras, incantations outside the scope of the sacrifices. So this is how he created these divisions, so that the people would understand what this Vedic knowledge that is originally coming from Krishna, that Krishna imparted to Brahma mercifully. So 108 Upanishads are the books of philosophy explaining Vedanta, the conclusion of the Vedas. So there are basically six Vedangas, the limbs of Vedas. There are six different, he created these subdivisions. So Kalpa means the ritual detail. Shiksha is pronunciation guide. Vyakaran is grammar, you know, about the Sanskrit. Because the Sanskrit is so complex from the Vedas. Just to take example, the Gayatri Mantra itself is so complex. And those who are twice initiated, twice born Brahmanas here, they know the mantras that they chant, they are so complex. You have to sit properly, you have to follow the proper process, and then you have to chant the mantras in the mind and with proper pronunciation. So you have to pronounce in the mind, which is very difficult. So that's why you see in, you know, when Prabhupada used to give Brahman initiations, many times he used to get very angry with the, you know, disciples. He used to always chastise, you know, his servants, whoever recommended these people. He used to say, what kind of people you are recommending for Brahman initiation? They don't know how to count because there is a specific way of counting. Or there is a very proper pronunciation is required. Because these are Shruti mantras. Shruti mantra, basically, Shruti is very complex. And that's why Vyasadeva is making it simpler for all of us. So there is the fourth subdivision, the limb of Vedas is Nirukti, which talks about etymology. Chanda talks about meters. And Jyotish talks about astronomy or astrology. Then he created Upavedas. There are four Upavedas. So they are like the supplement or supplementary Vedas. You must have heard about Ayurveda. So that is one of the four Upavedas which talks about medicine. There is Gandharva Veda which is about music and dance. There is Dhanurveda, which talks about the warfare. And there is Shilpaveda, which talks about architecture. So as I explained, there is the problem with the Shruti, all these mantras on these very complex Vedas is that they are very complex and the Sanskrit is very complex. They have to be chanted with perfect pronunciation, perfection in melody and perfection in the meter. Else it can give a different effect. Like you see in different pastimes, we see that they used this, you know, people, all the Brahmanas, they used to sit together and they used to chant these mantras together in the perfect meter. If one person makes a mistake, then they have to start all over again. They have to clean everything. They have to start all over again. And sometimes, you know, the different effect, the disastrous effect could be that if someone chants wrongly, then a demon may come out or something, you know, something crazy would happen that no one knows. So that is why, that is the reason actually that it is said that this Shruti is basically only for Brahmanas and other people are not allowed to read or, you know, because they won't understand. At the same time, they are so complex and so many rules and regulations that only people who are Brahmanas, they can really follow these and they can understand. And that's why, you know, women and Shudras and Dvija Bandhus, the friends of Brahmanas, they are not allowed for learning Vedas. They are not given entrance in the Veda. That's the reason. Because it's not possible to follow all these rules for common people. That's why only Brahmanas are allowed entrance to read Vedas. So, we see, but Vyasadeva, he is so, you know, compassionate to all of us that he decided to write Smriti. Because Shruti is not allowed for everyone, only Brahmanas are allowed. So he wrote Smriti, he wrote Mahabharata, He wrote Ramayana and different, you know, 18 Puranas and various, you know, Smritis, so that everyone can understand. Now you see, Mahabharata has Bhagavad Gita, but the Sanskrit of Bhagavad Gita is simple. Like, you know, it's easy to understand Krishna's verses, like what Krishna is speaking. For example, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Like, you can understand. Sharanam means surrender, and Mam means unto me. Ekam means only, you know, come only to me. Ekam also means only one. So we understand these mantras because they are simplified. And if you see this Klim mantras, or those who are Brahmanas, they know these mantras, that Kama Gayatri, and even Gayatri mantra, you have to be, you know, like Om, that Om has to be a proper meter. Then Bhuhu, Bhuvaha. It's not that easy. So that is the mercy of Vyasadeva, that he compiled these all literatures for all of us, because only Brahmanas were allowed. But Prabhupada is mentioning very beautiful concept, that this, you know, distinction was not based on someone's birth. That is very important. That a Brahman was not considered, and a person was not considered Brahman only because of he was born in the Brahman family. Many times people who were not Brahmanas, but they elevated themselves to the level of goodness that a Brahman should have, and they were really respected. And that's the ideal scenario, that Brahman or non-Brahman, it is not based on the birth of a person. So we see that just like Vyasadeva, being very compassionate to all the ignorant people, he compiled all these different Smritis, you know, Mahabharata, Ramayana, and Bhagavad Gita and all. The same way we see the life of Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada is also very compassionate. And out of compassion, he wanted to write books for all of us in English language. Because we see the same compassion coming from Srila Prabhupada, because he is even thinking that the books of Smriti, that is also very hard for all the people of Kali Yuga to understand. Even though it is simplified, but still, not everyone can understand Sanskrit. So that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he saw Srila Prabhupada, the first time he said that you, educated young people from India, you should take up this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preach in English language. That was the very first instruction. So Srila Prabhupada was completely clear what my spiritual master wants from me. So Srila Prabhupada, we see, he was always thinking in the same line, that I want to preach in English. And when he was Grihastha, he started publishing Back to Godhead. So he used to print it. Then he used to go out himself and he used to distribute his own books. And many times people would not give any heed. Sometimes they would ignore Prabhupada. But he was still enthusiastic. And Srila Prabhupada is teaching all of us how we all should be enthusiastic while we distribute these books. And we see he used to go to different shops and he used to distribute these Back to Godhead magazines. So, in the mind, Srila Prabhupada was always thinking that I want to preach in the English language. But this Gaudiya Math, you know, slowly after the disappearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this Gaudiya Math, it started to get divided into different mathas. You know, there was big problems. There were many problems. Usually the devotees got, you know, distinguished. There were two big groups. And then Srila Prabhupada is looking that why all my God brothers, instead of uniting and preaching the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, fulfilling the desire of the spiritual master, why are they fighting amongst themselves? So Srila Prabhupada wrote a beautiful Vyasa Puja offering one time on the day of Vyas Puja, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he wrote a beautiful offering in strong words. He wrote, "My dear God brothers, what are we doing? Instead of fulfilling the desires of our Guru Maharaj, we are fighting amongst ourselves and are only concerned about our mathas. We must leave this attitude and come together to preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like our Guru Maharaj has shown us. Not just that, we should also preach in the Western countries as per his desire." So he wrote a beautiful offering and he read in front of everyone in the assembly of his God brothers. Everyone clapped, everyone appreciated, but they felt that it's not possible, because some disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj had gone to England, and after so much of efforts for so many years, only they could, you know, cultivate 2-3 people from England. So they were saying that it's not easy. There is no use going there, you know, no one will understand. These meat eaters, they won't understand your message. But still Srila Prabhupada said, no, that is the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will facilitate. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted, Prithivite Jadda Nagaradi Gram Sarvatta Prachara Haiba Morna. So we have to trust, and it is also desire of our Guru Maharaj. So we see that Prabhupada was single-handedly, he kept preaching. You know, like, practically there was no help. No one really wanted to help him that this way. But one day, you know, while he was still in Grahastha Ashram, he was doing his own, you know, single-handedly preaching, printing his Back to Godhead, going out, distributing them himself. One day he saw a dream in which he saw his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, appeared and said, you know, raising his hand, you know, that personality, very effulgent. Srila Prabhupada describes how he saw the dream. He felt it very real, and he saw that a very effulgent golden personality, and the, you know, he had spectacles, and he was tall, and Srila Prabhupada could recognize that he is my spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur raised his hand and he said that now you should take sannyas and follow what I have ordered you to do, preach in English language. And then when Prabhupada woke up, he felt horrified, because we were hearing the lecture by Siddhanta Prabhu yesterday. Prabhupada was talking himself what he saw and how he felt. Prabhupada thought, how can I take sannyas now? I have children, I have wife, I have my family. So how can I take sannyas? So he went first to the Chaitanya Math in Kolkata, where there is Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, and he asked that, can you give me sannyas, because this is the dream I had and I want to surrender myself completely at the lotus feet of our spiritual master. Can you please give me sannyas? But that time Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, he said, you first join and you start serving. Taking sannyas also means you join the matha and you start serving, and then we will see after a few years. Then Prabhupada asked that, if I join, could you please send me to the Western countries? Because we have to, you know, understand, those days Srila Prabhupada had a desire to come here, but there was no means by which he would come. He had a desire, so he wanted someone to send, and he was, you know, begging his god brother, who was like the president of that matha, Chaitanya. So he said, please send me there. But then this Maharaj, Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, said that nowadays there are no conferences or anything happening in the Western countries, and these people won't understand anything. Even if you go, what will you accomplish? It's better you be here, preach here, acquire some disciples, and then after maybe 5-10 years you can go, and then it will have some effect. So Srila Prabhupada felt discouraged. Then finally he asked, at least will you help me to write books? I want to write books in English, in simple language that everybody can understand. Even a simple common man on the street, he can understand the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because in those days, there were only the literature of Goswami. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote many books, but they were high class. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself was such a great scholar that he wrote for like high class, very intellectual masses. So Srila Prabhupada, he had a desire to write books for common people. Anyone can understand. Even a housewife should understand what I'm trying to teach. But to this, Bhaktivilas Tirtha Maharaj said that right now our first step is that we want to publish Goswami's literature. We want to write and publish all the literature that our Guru Maharaj has produced. So right now we cannot allow you to do all that. So Srila Prabhupada felt discouraged, and then he went to Keshavji Math in Mathura, in Vrindavan, where his friend Bhakti Pradhan Keshav Maharaj was there. He was the president. So he went and revealed his heart, and he told that I had such a dream and please I need your help. So to that Bhakti Pradhan Keshav Maharaj said that I was telling you from beginning you should take sannyas, because you are such a powerful preacher, you must take sannyas. And then we see how everything happened from there. Prabhupada got sannyas from Bhakti Pradhan Keshav Maharaj, and he started preaching right away. So we see that Prabhupada is also Kripana Vatsala, because he wanted to even simplify Bhagavad Gita for all of us. He wrote many purports, so many pages of beautiful purports that we all can assimilate. Otherwise, we would not be able to understand Bhagavad Gita and complex verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada, he came in a cargo ship to America, and for 1 year he was trying his best, but still nothing was happening. Nothing as much as he wanted. So he was getting discouraged, and so many of his godbrothers wrote Srila Prabhupada that you are trying your best, but why are you staying in New York? You tried your best and you fulfilled the desire of the spiritual master. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted you to go and preach in Western countries. You did that. It's not happening. Come back. Come to Vrindavan and chant Radhe Radhe, and just instead of dying there, die here in Vrindavan and go back to Godhead. But to that Srila Prabhupada said, no, in whatever case, I will not give up this mission that I have taken. And we see that because of Srila Prabhupada's intense efforts and hardships and never give up attitude, that we see that, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness has grown so much. So we have to appreciate the efforts that our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada has taken. And he has taken all those efforts for each one of us. That it was not Prabhupada's desire that I should be glorified and that's why I'm staying here. He could have stayed in, Radha Damodar temple, right next to the Rupa Goswami Samadhi, and he was completely happy. A pure devotee is happy anywhere and everywhere he is. Srila Prabhupada came here for all of us. He wrote these books. Every page is for each one of us. So we should take it very seriously and we should appreciate the aspect of Kripana Vatsalata, in the life of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anyone has question? Yes, bro. I'll repeat.
So I heard from reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita thought I remember reading somewhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya said that, it was said that Lord Chaitanya murmured his Gayatri mantra, but then also somewhere, then you said here today that we say it in the mind. So I've heard it both ways. What have you heard? Did you hear Srila Prabhupada say or read somewhere that we say in the mind? Like, which is correct, or is both okay?
I think all these mantras are secret mantras. That's why they are given when a spiritual master gives Gayatri, the second initiation, to the qualified person. He speaks that in the ears because they are supposed to be kept very secret. So that's why these mantras are chanted in the mind. Also, the question, I'll repeat the question that Satchinandan Prabhu is asking, that it is, you said in the mind? Okay. So what is the right way to chant in the mind or to chant? Because it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya murmured. Yeah, but I have, my understanding is that you should chant it so that no one will understand. So that's the basic idea, that you should keep it secret. Because, it is said that there are different demigods, different, invisible creatures, they may take your mantra because they are unqualified and they are not supposed to have this mantra. Archit Prabhu wants to
say. Hare Krishna. I'll have to look for the exact reference, but Prabhupada clearly stated once that you should speak it in the mouth. In other words, you pronounce the words like as if you're speaking, but the sound doesn't come out. Inside. It's not just sitting close-lipped and trying to chant up here. You actually say the words in your mouth, just as if you were talking, but the sound doesn't come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to pronounce it in the mouth.
Naikatma Prabhu.
Yeah, I've heard that same thing. Srila Prabhupada talks about how it should be chanted very silently, but he also does say, he added to that, that it's more advanced to chant it in the mind.
Yeah. See, chanting in the mind is not easy for real. Like, you are chanting in the mind, and one thought comes, then that is gone. You have to start from beginning. Now, Prabhupada has really given, because he is merciful, he has given, simple etiquette, like some simpler version of the same strict rule. Like Varnashram is very strict, but when Prabhupada came in the Western countries, so he allowed different, he somehow, what is the right word, like he simplified the etiquettes. But the ideal is that it should be chanted in the mind, and because that is the highest. Because when I was given this mantra, even like when I was very small, because coming from the Brahmin family, they have this sanskar upanayan. So when I was given the person who gave Acharya, that he told me the same, that you should sit down and follow this principle, but chant in the mind. So, yeah, I think that's the goal. All right, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.